Good morning and welcome to our AA meeting on air on 104.6 Planet FM. My name is Anna, I'm an alcoholic and will be chairing our meeting this morning. Please welcome our speakers today, Kylie, Bill and Trudy, who will be sharing their experience, strength and hope with you all. Would you like to help me open the meeting with a serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. The preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other, that they may share their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, political organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. So we have our first speaker up today, who is Kylie. Would you like to share with us, Kylie?
Morena, my name's Kylie and I'm an alcoholic and I'm really grateful to be here with you all this morning and thank you for the opportunity to come and share. My home group is Saturday Night Hamilton and I have the real privilege of working with the community down there to make sure those doors are open for the sick and suffering each week. I have just actually celebrated 14 years sober. On the 12th of October I took my last drink. And interestingly enough, I need a hand to remember that date. I have a friend in the fellowship who rings me every year and says, "It's your birthday, buddy." And I think, you know, I've had the chance to take stock and really think about that 14 years lately. And when I came in the doors, I remember my journey to the doors they were really interesting. They were lonely, they were cold, my life was miserable. Even though I had what looked like on the outside, a lovely life. I lived in an idyllic place. I had a really lovely home. I had a really awesome job in a really awesome part of the country. And on the inside, I was miserable. And my then employer, who was really lovely, he's not one of us, he approached me one day very lovingly and very kindly, said, "Kylie, can I see you in my office after you've had your morning tea?" And I said, "Sure." I went into the office and he sat me down very kindly and asked me, and I had to remember he's actually not one of us, so I think this was divine intervention. He said, "Have you had enough to drink?" And I paused for what seemed like an hour and then I said, "Yeah, I have." And what I knew in that moment when I was confronted with that question was that I had enough ego to know that I would not go home to my parents again and having to say, "I've made a mess again." And so that night, it seemed like it took forever to get to the meeting, but I took myself to a meeting that night, Wednesday night meeting, and in those days we were in the Community for Deaf Centre on Wellington Street, and I crawled in there at 7:29 because the meeting started at 7:30. And I was greeted by one of the loveliest people who said, "Welcome." And I was dying on the inside. I was dying of shame. I was dying of remorse. I was petrified. I didn't know what was going to happen. But I knew that the truth was about to come to the fore. And in that meeting, what I experienced was love and tolerance and patience and kindness and understanding. And that's been my experience of the program, really. So that night I made a decision that come what may, I wouldn't drink, but I would get to meetings. And in the beginning I got really, really, really sick. And that night I started AA with three other ladies, and they were getting really well. They were getting really well, physically really well, the way they spoke, they sounded really well, they walked as though they were really well, and they looked as though they were really well, and I was dying. And one night I walked into another meeting and a long timer said to me, "And how were you today, my dear?" And God had enough to crack the door open, and I let a little bit of the truth out, and I said, "If this is recovery, I don't want it. It's too hard. It's too painful." And he said, "Well, that's good then. You're ready to do some work." And he took me through the big book, and I had an experience sufficient to bring about a change. And I remember travelling, and I lived rurally at the time, and I remember travelling into the meeting saying to God, "If this is recovery, I don't want it. It's too hard. It sucks. This is too painful." And the thought came, and I remember very clearly the thought came, "But you still think you're different." I hadn't conceded to my innermost self that I was alcoholic. And I remember just saying, "Oh, well, why didn't you just say that's what it was?" And I skipped into that same meeting on a Wednesday night, skipped in saying, "I'm a banana trying to hang out with the peers. I'm a banana trying to hang out with the peers." And these other ladies were looking at me going, "Finally, finally." I'd been going in every week full of misery, full of pain, just refusing to do the work, thinking that not drinking and staying dry was enough. I didn't know that there was a whole lot of work that needed to be done. And then a long timer picked me up, walked me through the work, sat down with me, read the book with me, because I wasn't very good at reading either. And that was a real struggle, accessing some of the language and the patience and the tolerance and the kindness. And every week, reading the book, helping me to understand, helping me have that journey to identification, and then helping me work through the tasks as they're set out. And then I had to sit down and take inventory. I didn't want to take inventory. I didn't want everybody to know my shameful secrets. But I got that done. You know, again, it was the loving embrace of the fellowship that walked me through that. And then my sponsor sat me down and laughed as I told her all the things I thought I'd done that were horrendous. And she said, "It's fine. It's all fine. You're not the only one." And it broke the isolation. And then I had to go about and take accountability and make amends. And that was hard too. But along the way, the incredible growing experience and what it did for my life, I smiled and became happy, you know, and people were really concerned because I was no longer the miserable dark cloud growling everybody. And in that, what's happened for me is that I've continued to come back. I've got two little people who I love dearly, my daughter and her family, and all of that's been returned. You know, I've got a great career that I respect, and I get to have all of that one day at a time because I've built a relationship with my higher power. And at the end of the day, when I lay my head on the pillow, I go back to God and I'm grateful, and I take account for all of those things that, you know, I've done through the day that I need to be accountable for. And so, yeah, I'm just incredibly grateful to be a member of this fellowship.
That's lovely. Thank you very much, Carly, for your share. We have our next speaker with us, Bill. Would you like to go ahead and share with us, please?
Yeah, thank you for having me. My name is Bill and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Bill.
I should say grateful alcoholic. I didn't think that I would actually end up in AA. I actually was one of those people that fought tooth and nail not to actually go to AA. My opinion of AA was totally foreign to me, and I was at a place in my life where I just didn't want to go there. But my journey started probably 36 years ago when I went to my first meeting, and I hung in there for about 8 months. I did everything wrong. I turned up at the meetings just as they were starting. I would leave as they were just finishing. I never got a sponsor. I didn't read any of the books. I just ran for it. And I was in there for about 8 months. And in the end, I just went back out and did what I normally did, and that was drank and used other substances. And I remember coming into AA, and I was talking to a woman there, and I told her that story, and she said, "Well, why did you leave?" And I said, "It was just too gaudy for me. It was God everywhere, God this, God that." And she said to me, "Well, I don't think they've changed any of the wording in those banners for nearly 90 years, Bill." And I said, "It just seems a bit different now. Maybe I was ready to hear a message." But that was 36 years ago. So I had 36 years of going out there and thrashing myself. And to be fair, I hung in there for a long time, and I kidded myself that I was a functioning alcoholic. The reality of it was my outside didn't match my insides, and I always felt alien. It didn't matter what I did, I never felt comfortable in my own skin. Felt like a square peg in a round hole. So I drank and for effect, and it did make me feel a little bit more included and comfortable. But the reality of it was a facade. It wasn't actually helping me. I went to a drug and alcohol counsellor because I knew I had problems in my early 20s. And I said to him that I thought I had issues, and they were starting to appear then. The cracks were starting. And he said to me he didn't care if I lived or died. And I guess that wasn't the message I wanted to hear. So I thanked him for his time and left. And I didn't go back or get any more help. I thought I could just do it myself. And about 10 years ago, I really noticed that my drinking had started to ramp up. I was pretty much a daily drinker anyway, but the sheer volume of it increased. And I was drinking a bottle of whiskey a night. And yeah, I was thinking, that's not normal drinking. You know, I had friends that could have one drink and put it down, or... And I asked a friend of mine, I said, "I think I might be an alcoholic." And he said, "Can I ask you a couple of questions?" He said, "Do you drink every day?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "And when you start, can you stop?" And I said, "No, I can't." I said, "I just can't stop. I have one and then I just keep drinking until it's just blackout." And I had lots of crazy things happening. You know, I was crashing cars. I've got third-degree burns from cooking while I was drinking. And, yeah, and I was married all through that. And my wife, I knew she was concerned, because I remember one day I went into the office and I looked on our computer, and there was some searches there. And it was searches for rehabs and advice on alcoholism. So she was studying it in the background to help me, and I didn't care enough to try and get those answers. And it was weird, because I had, my whole life was actually, I thought, was functioning. I was holding down jobs. I never lost a job because of my drinking. I never lost my license from driving. I should actually put yet on the end of that, because eventually my wife did leave. My house went up for sale. She even took my dogs, which I loved. I wasn't working anymore. Had a year after she left, I was still in the house, and I was in a horrible place. I guess it's that place between not wanting to live and too scared to die. And I had accepted that my disease was going to kill me, and I was prepared to pay that price, because the thought of trying to sort this problem out was just too big. It was immense. It really had me buried, you know. And I remember I was in my workshop, and a voice said to me, like we're talking now, you know, they said, "You've suffered enough and it's time." Said that twice. And from that point on, it got really weird. I made appointments to see the doctor. I had initiated with drug and alcohol counsellors, but I always felt like the third person in the room. It didn't feel like it was me that was initiating this. Felt like someone was holding my hand. And eventually I got my appointment to go to hospital. They recommended I go into rehab, but I was trying to work to pay the bills, so I didn't really want to take that time out. So long story short, I agreed to a 7-day chemical detox. The night before I went into that detox, I was really worried and scared. I didn't know who this person was going to be that come out the other end. I never knew this person. He was a stranger. And I didn't sleep very well. When I woke up in the morning, the weirdest thing happened. I had had my craving for alcohol totally removed from me. I had total peace and calm had come over me. I didn't have a care in the world. And I can only put that down to my higher power. You know, I never asked for help, but he gave it to me. And I went into that 7 days and came out the other end. And I went with CADS because they initially got me into the program, and they were really helpful, but they really didn't push AA as another option. And I wanted to do more. I thought, what else can I do to help my recovery? So I actually went into AA. I didn't really know what AA was. I thought it was weird because I went in really miserable and depressed, and all these people were smiling and happy and they looked well. I actually wondered if I was in the right place. I thought it was going to be a room full of desperate people, but that was far from the case. Nothing made sense at first. It was just all foreign to me. I didn't know what the traditions or the steps were. Didn't know what this higher power was, but I went on to want to find out. So I started going to church. I got baptized in that church. I got a sponsor. I worked the steps. I did service. I did all the things that were recommended, and my life improved. They say you can get a life beyond your wildest dreams, and that's what I ended up with. I'm 600 days sober tomorrow, and it's just a beautiful life, and the fellowship is amazing. My home group is the Whangaroa Raglan AA meeting, one of the best meetings out there, I have to say that. It was changed my life, and it's an action program, so the more work I put in, the better the result. So, yeah, I'm definitely in it for life, and it did save my life. And I can't thank AA, the fellowship, and my sponsor enough for the second chance I got. You know, today I have hope and faith for a better life, and there is one better than the one that I had. And I don't want to forget that life. It was horrible, and I never want to go back to it again. So by the grace of God, I'll keep going to these meetings and helping this still-suffering alcoholic, and I'll be there hopefully to the end of my days. So thank you very much.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Bill. And we have our last speaker with us today, Trudy. Would you like to share with us, please?
Thanks, Anna. Hi, I'm Trudy and I'm an alcoholic. It's lovely being here today. We've travelled up from Hamilton, Kirikiriroa, and my home group is Saturday night, Hamilton, and, excuse me, gosh, what a journey. I am coming up 12 years sober. I didn't start looking seriously at help for my drinking until I was in my early 50s. And so I started drinking in earnest, as I recall, around my probably the 20 mark. I was in a relationship, the second, I think, of many, and he was a drinker, and I jumped on that waka really easily and quickly, and booze became a serious part of my life. And I had one child at that time, and the drinking became, it was becoming my priority. You know, I wasn't present to do all the loving motherly things for the most part. And I just proceeded to get worse from there, really. I didn't see it coming, you know. It's stealth was, I allowed it to happen. And so Two children quickly followed and many relationships afterward. I was living in Auckland at that time. And working, people would say that I was a functioning alcoholic, but, you know, I believe that I was breezing through operating at about probably 60% of my total capability and having a really good time, you know, because the booze wasn't very far from me at any given moment. I made it a pretty much a daily thing. It would take me maybe a day or so to get over the last big drink and, you know, it just happened. It became part of my life and so by this time I was up in Kaitaia and I was a committed party, drinky, good time person. You know, my kids were always with the babysitters and I justified my life and my existence by saying, hey, look, you know, I work and I work hard all day and I get home, I'm immediately looking for the, you know, the cask in those days and pouring myself a glass while I'm getting the dinner ready. And by the time the kids are in bed, I'm pretty much on my way. And that was the way I drank, you know. I was by myself. I had the phone and I had the computer. And I would get up some mornings and just look at my writing or what I'd done to the computer and just think, what on earth? Who's been here? I was just another person drinking and I don't know who on earth I thought I was, but I was a bit of a computer technician, you know, when I was on it. I would grace people, mostly family, with phone calls and wonder the next day who I'd spoken to. I got to writing down, you know, bits of the conversation and the next morning I wouldn't be able to read my writing. those are the states that I got into. And I didn't even think that I justified it. It just was. It was my life. It was me. No one else had to know. I isolated myself and I certainly wasn't going to talk about my drinking problem with my work buddies. So, you know, the secret life that I had, it weighed heavily. I carried around the secret and wasn't able to show anyone the real me. To be honest, I didn't know who the real me was. Excuse me. And it wasn't until I was firmly entrenched in the AA program that I could look back and think, what was I doing there? Oh my God, that's what I was doing. I was isolating. I was hiding. I was not showing my real self to anybody. I didn't know who I was, you know. And if you don't know who you are, then you're all things to everybody. That's what I was trying to do. I was a chronic people pleaser. My personality and my wants and my desires for life would change depending on who I was in front of because I wanted to belong. I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to be loved and liked and wanted. And I didn't think that I had that without the personality that alcohol gave me. And it's really quite sad when you think about it that, you know, you reach a certain age before you start working on what you're actually like, you know. And that's what this program has given me. It's given me the pause. And it's asked me the questions and I've had to look deep within for real Trudy's answers. You know, I just had no idea, but it has been a fantastic journey. I was not drinking for 4 years before I found the program. And in the 4 years that I had that I was dry, I expected my life to be miraculous and fulfilling and to be handed to me on a platter. You know, I didn't know that the drinking is a symptom. Once you put the glass and the bottle down in the cask, the real work begins. And I have peeled back the layers, and I have found just a beginning of who I actually am. And I quite like it, you know. I have a design for living. I have a guide in this program. I have the fellowship, which are the people that make up the meetings, and I belong there, you know. And in all of this, wanting to be accepted and loved, and I belong somewhere, and where I didn't before, and how lucky am I? And in all of this, I'm finding also my own God within, and that is such a miracle in itself. You know, it really is the cherry. So I'm here. I found where I belong, where I need to be, what fulfills me, and I really hope that that happens for some of you listening. And we do lots of service as well. So come join us. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Trudy, for your sharing. That is all the time we have for today. Thank you again to Kylie, to Bill and Trudy for joining us in the studio today, and to all of you for listening. We are on air each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. here on 104.6 Planet FM. If you or anyone you know is in need of help from AA, please either call on 0800 AA Works. That's 0800 229 6757. That's 0800 229 6757. Or visit the AA website www.aa.org.nz, where you can find a raft of information. And finally, you can find today's recording and others on the Planet FM website www.planetaudio.org.nz under the program name AA On Air. And finally, could you now join me in closing this meeting with the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. We'll be right back.